Hello. Welcome. Welcome to our first podcast. My name is Monica Irvin, and I am the president of the Etiquette Factory, and this is the Etiquette Factory with Monica Irvin, our new podcast channel. Thank you so much for just willing to listen to the first podcast and your willingness to give us a chance. We are so excited at the Etiquette Factory just to be able to launch a new platform to be able to connect with you parents, and we're excited to learn from one another. This podcast has really just one single purpose, and that is to help you be the best parents that you can be and to help encourage and uplift one another. I hope to learn from you. I hope that you leave lots of comments and lots of suggestions, and I look forward to the wisdom and insight that you can give me as well. I want to tell you a little bit about myself for those of you who don't know me. And so I'm getting older. I'm almost 50 years old, and I know you would think good etiquette, we don't tell our age to one another, but you might as well know. You might as well know that I am a mom and a wife and a grandmother, and life is good. I'm married to a man named Charles Irvin, and we are coming up on our 25th anniversary this August. So we're super excited about that. And of course, 25 years, that's a big deal. It's a big deal that we've just been walking hand in hand through this marriage journey. We don't have a perfect marriage, but it is a perfect marriage for me. Charles is my biggest fan. I often, very often, thank the Lord for giving me this man who supports me and loves me and encourages me and cheers for me and just is my greatest supporter. That is just such a blessing, and I'm always and will forever be so grateful for that. I also love that after 25 years, we're still in love with each other, and well, I'm still in love with him. Let's hope that he's still in love with me, and I just look forward to 25 more years, and so that's just a great blessing. We have fun together. One thing about Charles and I is we laugh a lot, and we just kind of like the same kinds of things. We have a lot in common, and he's just someone that I love to spend time with, and so that's a great blessing. I'm also a mom, so we've got three boys in our family. So when I married Charles, he had these two adorable little boys named Chad and Tanner. And so they've been in my life for a long time. And we also have a son between us named Sawyer. So our boys are 30, 28, and 21. So they're all out of the house and living their own lives and doing lots of really wonderful things. And we're proud of them, and they bring us a lot of joy. I finally was blessed with this little girl, this little granddaughter named Layla, and she is 6 years old. So I finally got someone to play tea party with, someone that I could share my dolls and my Barbies and my Barbie clothes with, things that I kept my whole life. And so I'm just really enjoying being a grandmother and having a little girl to play all my girly things with. So I want to tell you a little bit about the Etiquette Factory. We're not always going to talk about the Etiquette Factory, but the Etiquette Factory is kind of my, it's my baby, it's my other child. And so it's a big part of my life, and it's my passion, and it's what has allowed me to mentor and come into contact with the thousands of parents that I have met over the last many years. And so I want to tell you a little bit about how I started with the Etiquette Factory, so you kind of know just my thought process and what I'm passionate about. So I started homeschooling Sawyer when let's see, he went through the fourth grade in public school, and then I took him out and started homeschooling him in fifth grade. Now, I want you to know that I never intended to homeschool. In fact, even when Sawyer started kindergarten, I remember just this thought of homeschooling kind of kept just coming to my mind. And every time it would come to my mind, I would just as quickly as possible get it out of my mind because I did not want to do that. I thought that was crazy and only crazy people did that. And I just wanted no part of that. Plus, it wasn't just that. I thought that I was not capable of homeschooling my child. I thought I would ruin his life if I tried to homeschool him. And that's a whole nother story. We're not going to get into all that right now. But I wanted you to know I was homeschooling him because that's how the Etiquette Factory started. So when Sawyer was in fifth grade, we started studying about George Washington. And in the process of learning about our first president, we came across George Washington's rules of civility and decent behavior. So if you have never read those little rules, I highly encourage you to Google them and read them. So basically, there's 110 chivalry rules that the history books say when George Washington was around 13 years old, he was being mentored by a minister at the time. And that minister encouraged him to brush up on his chivalry skills. So as far as I can see in the research I've done, it looks like we don't know exactly who the original author is of those 110 chivalry skills. But what we do know is that we found that list in President Washington's handwriting. So we know at some point he did actually write out all of those 110 chivalry skills, and they are beautiful. They're written in that old English, and so yes, you have to get the dictionary out for a few of them. And there's some funny ones, like one of my favorites, and I'm summarizing here, is it's not polite to remove lice from your companion in public, which I thought was very good advice. But most of the skills are timeless. And as I was reading these skills, just something just really moved inside me. I just thought they were so beautiful. And I thought, wow, what would it mean for our society to live these skills still today? And as I read those skills, I saw that many of them we've kind of gotten, I guess lazy is the best way to say it. Maybe we just don't think they're as important anymore. And so we just kind of have let our guard down, maybe become more casual with the way that we interact with one another. And of course, what I was most interested in was I wanted to teach Sawyer to have impeccable manners because I already knew that people who have impeccable manners, they just have more opportunities before them, it seems. And, you know, today, whenever you do meet someone with really good manners, whether it's a young person or even an adult, you're kind of taken back. It's like, whoa, you know, what planet did you just come from? And you're just kind of intrigued with it and impressed with it. And so I really wanted to give Sawyer those things. And I saw that he was missing some skills. You know how sometimes you'll watch your kids do something and they'll do something and you'll ask yourself, okay, have I really not taught them to do that? Like, I cannot believe they just thought that was okay to do. And so I was having kind of some of those moments, and maybe more often than I wanted. And I just saw that I needed, that we had some lapses and we needed to kind of brush up on these skills. So as a homeschool mom, I wanted to find a curriculum that taught my son manners for the 21st century, I guess is what I was looking for. And as I started looking for something that taught manners in a very organized approach, I of course could not find anything. But I did find out in my investigation that I could go through etiquette training and become a certified etiquette instructor. There were a couple of different schools around the nation, and they're just, you know, it's industry driven. And so I thought, well, you know, if I learned myself, then surely that would help me teach Sawyer some more etiquette skills. So that's exactly what I did. But the more I learned, the more excited that I became about teaching this to not only my children, but to other children. And so that's exactly what I did. The first thing I did after a year, well, year and a half of training, is I started running manners camps for kids. And you know, the truth is, the first summer when I scheduled all of these manners camps, I didn't know if one person would pay me $1 to, you know, to send their kids to manners camp. But I knew I would. I mean, I would pay someone a lot of money to, you know, to ship, get my son all ship shape into manners. So I thought, well, you know, maybe there's more than just me. And what was so interesting is after about 2 months of marketing, 5 of my 6 camps had a waiting list. And that's when I knew I was not the only person searching for help for our children. And so that launched the Etiquette Factory, and the rest is history, which we're still making history, you know, as of today with our new podcast channel. So it's just been the most rewarding journey. Sometimes I sit back and I look at all of the products that we've developed, and just I look at, we've got educators in 8 countries and 14 states that run the Etiquette Factory in their city or in their country. And, you know, some of them are just doing amazing things. And I remember the first time I was emailed this little picture, this video, and an image of these children in Nigeria who were singing the Etiquette Factory songs. And I was so moved. I just was brought to tears thinking, this is worldwide, meaning the skills. There's no boundaries. There's, you know, these are so universal. Even though, yes, there's some cultural differences in how we maybe greet one another, depending on our culture or what country we're from, but most of these skills are universal. So let me give you the definition of how I define etiquette, because this is so important. So the definition that we use at the Etiquette Factory is, etiquette, or manners, is helping those around us to feel valued and to feel comfortable. It's an outward expression of how we feel on the inside. I've always been fascinated with the idea that there's probably not a single parent on the face of this earth who does not desire for their children to be kind. I mean, if there is such a parent, I can't imagine, and I probably wouldn't want to meet them. But I just know that all parents, regardless of where they come from, they want their kids to be kind and to be good. And so how interesting is it, you all, that you have all of these parents on the earth who want their children to be kind, but yet we're living in a less kind society? I'm pretty sure everyone would agree with that. Well, what I believe, and I'm sure there's probably many things that go into it, but what I believe is the main problem why we're living in a less kind society is because parents, we as a society, have become less purposeful in teaching these skills. You know, we try to be a good example, and we correct our children when we see them doing something wrong. In fact, that's typically the only time we're teaching manners, is when we see our children do something or we hear them say something, and then we go over to them and kind of whisper in their ear and say something like, "Honey, I'm sorry, but you can't say that. That's really rude." And then we correct them, and we think that that's teaching. And what I have come to believe is that even though that is a form of teaching, it's not the optimal time for our kids to learn. When any of us are being corrected, it doesn't feel good. And we tend to be a little defensive, regardless of how old we are. It's just kind of our human nature. And so what we teach and what I believe is that we will get so much further along and get better results when we are proactive in teaching, when we teach outside of correcting. And so that's what the Etiquette Factory is, and that's what we've created, and I'm so excited for you to learn a little bit more about that. But today, what I really want to leave with you after my introduction is I want to just give you a thought, something to ponder over the next few days. When I think back about being a younger mother, whether it's being a mother of preschoolers or being a mother of a middle schooler or high schooler, one thing that you never forget is how much I worried. And I'm not about to say that I don't still worry, because of course you know that I do. But when I think about what's one piece of advice, just one piece of advice that I wish someone had given me, and then I would hope that I would have listened. I don't know if I would have. And I don't know if it would have made a difference. And I don't know if me saying this to you today is going to make a difference. But what I wish I would have thought about, what I wish I would have known, what I wish someone would have said to me is, relax. Just relax a little bit. I know that we worry. In fact, we worry about everything when we're parents. We lie awake at night and worry about all of the what-if scenarios that we can possibly come up with, and we can come up with a lot of them. We sit there and go, "Oh my goodness, how am I going to get my child to stop doing this? Or my child's doing this, and that's probably going to lead to this, and then that's going to lead to this, and then, oh my goodness, then this is what's going to happen." And we just play out in our mind all of these scenarios. Or we see our children and we recognize their weaknesses. I think one of the hardest things as parents is being aware of our children's weaknesses. As you know, you and I and everyone on this earth has weaknesses. It's our weaknesses that draw us to the Savior, that remind us of how much we need a Savior and how much we need to rely on the Lord to help us overcome our weaknesses and become better people. But for some reason, as parents, when we recognize our children's weaknesses, and not for some reason, of course we are concerned about that. Usually we're concerned because where there's a weakness, there typically is some pain. You know, when we, for instance, you know, perhaps we have a child that is not as honest as we would like them to be or as they should be. Perhaps we have a child who's a little too bossy, or a child who is a little, doesn't like to share. And we see those things, and we know that those behaviors lead to struggles in relationships, lead to unhappiness, don't bring happiness. And so as parents, we kick it into high gear, and we start trying to come up with a plan on how to help our children overcome those weaknesses. And that's called parenting, and that's what we do, and That's what I still do, right? That's what we do as parents. But there's something that I want us to remember. And you all, I have to remind myself of this too. But several years ago, when one of our boys was younger, we had recognized a weakness that this child had. And we were trying to help them come up with ways to help them kind of recognize that and kind of work on that, work on getting rid of that. And we had tried a couple of different things, and, you know, we have absolutely spent time in prayer. I often just will pray and ask God to please help me to know of something specific, a specific idea that I can do or I can say, or just something I can do to help with whatever the situation is. So I had done that many times. And it just felt like we weren't getting anywhere. And in fact, sometimes it felt like it was making matters worse. And one particular night, I was in prayer. And I was asking the Lord once again to help me know how to parent this child in a way that could help them overcome this weakness. And without a shadow of a doubt, I can tell you that I felt the Lord say to me, "Monica, it is going to be years down the road before he sheds this. It is going to take many more life experiences. And it is going to take some other people coming into his life who are going to help him see the error of his ways. But eventually, he will shed this. But it is going to take more time." You know, you all, I needed to hear that night. Because I feel like I was starting to exasperate the issue because I was so trying so hard to fix it. I was trying hard to fix him. And the Lord reminded me that this isn't a race. This isn't a race against time. We're not going to be able to fix every little thing our children do or don't do that we want them to do or don't do by the time they turn 18. It's not like we're going to just, you know, perfect these little kids and then they turn 18 and we're like, okay, they're perfect. We're going to send them out into the world. You know, that's not going to happen. And I think we need to remember that. That night, the Lord reminded me of that. He reminded me that I'm still working on shedding my weaknesses. I'm almost 50 years old, and I still have several, who knows how many things, but I know of several things that I need to get rid of in my life. There's things that I need to improve. I've got strengths, but I've got strengths that I need to increase. We all do, and we will continue to for the rest of our lives, however long that is. We will be working on shedding the bad, obtaining more good, trying to become more like our Savior. And it is a lifetime journey. And so I just want to share with you that sometimes we don't stop parenting. We don't stop praying for answers. We don't stop trying to help our children. But we do need to remember that as parents, we can teach our children correct principles. We can model correct behavior as best we can. We can make sure that our children are aware of the consequences of making poor choices. But parents, then we have to step back and we have to allow our children to make choices. It's in making choices that we learn. We learn when we make bad choices, and it's painful to watch. But that's how you and I have learned, and that is how our children will learn. We learn when we make good choices. You and I have had wonderful experiences when we have chosen the right and seen the blessings that come when we make those good choices. And so I just want to encourage you and myself to remember to relax a little bit and know that you are perfect for your children. Isn't it so interesting also? I think about this a lot too. That God created this perfect plan for His children to be raised. And you know, granted, there is a, you know, people are becoming parents a little later. But for the most part, we become parents when we're young. And not to offend anyone, but I would even say young and dumb. Because I know when I was in my early 20s, I just wasn't real smart. And I'm not saying I'm smart yet, but one thing that's true is that we do become, I hope, we become more wise as we get older. And, but it's interesting that's really not the Lord's plan. You know, He didn't plan for us to become new parents in our 60s. For the most part. But the plan was that we would become parents when we were young and when we were also just barely beyond childhood. And then all of a sudden we're parents. I mean, think about it. You're 18. Think about, you know, how you think and your maturity level at 18. And then, you know, in a couple of years, you're parenting. But that was His plan. That is His plan. And so He knew that we would make lots of mistakes as parents. He knew that this process of parenting would not only help our children, but would help us, His children, continue to learn and grow. I know there's days that you feel like you're failing, but you're not. Because you love your kids, and I know that you do nothing save you're doing things that you hope are for the benefit of your children. And it's such a gift and a blessing to be a parent. I want you to cut yourself a little slack. I want you to be a little kinder to yourself. Be a little more gentle on your spouse, who also is not a perfect parent, but loves your children and wants the best for your kids. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, those of you listening, thank you. Thank you for joining me this week. Thank you for joining and listening to our first podcast. I'm so excited to bring you. We have so many great topics. We've outlined our topics for an entire year and just couldn't be more excited to share with you and to just walk this journey of parenting together. If you have not visited theetiquettefactory.com, I invite you to. We've got some great resources and just helps for parents. Helping you to teach your children how to be kind, how to show love one to another. And I hope you visit our Facebook page, and we have lots of social media accounts, and we hope to hear from you. Please comment below, and we look forward to spending this special time with you each week. Thank you again. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk again next week.